Okay, we continue today with Tiltul Min Hatzad. Tiltul Min Hatzad, indirect movements. But, as opposed to the last few weeks, which we've looked at the Gemaras of the fig or the bread or the radish, so we're going to look at that's on Kuf Chav Gimel, that's on 123, and it was on Kuf Mem Aleph, I think, something like that. 141. Today we're going to rewind in the Masechta. We're going to go to page 43. What's 43 in Hebrew letters? Mem Gimel. Very good. Mem Gimel, specifically Amud Beis. Mem Gimel Amud Beis. 43B, towards the bottom. What?
I was joking. Mine goes back that far.
Yes. I actually had to get a different Art Scroll version. I don't know if Adina, you were looking for the ones from last week, but it wouldn't have been in there.
No.
I'm a base. 86 on the top. It says 86. Okay. Here's an uncomfortable situation. An uncomfortable situation, but one which helps us clarify what we're talking about. We're going to read through this Gemara, and I want you to tell me what's wrong. Okay, there's a glaring problem with it. Not a problem with the Gemara, but the problem with our understanding of the Gemara. So you'll have to tell me. Here we go. We are, let's say, 2/3 of the way down.
You'll read slowly?
Yeah, I will. Just trying to find a good starting point. Okay, let's go to Itmar. I'd say this is about 3/4 of the way down. The last word on the line is mace.
Oh, mace.
Yeah.
Itmar mace.
Yeah, Itmar mace.
Yeah.
It's about 4/4 of the way down. I'll show you the beginning of a paragraph in the Art Scroll and in the Koran, if I had to guess. Itmar mace. Are we there?
43 we're on?
43B. 43B. I would say 43B3 even. Maybe 43B2 at the end.
What?
That's Art Scroll pagination. The shock and horror.
It's not hard. I'm difficult enough.
I would say one back, maybe.
But you don't know how far down the page it'll be because
right.
All...
It's different pages. It's towards the bottom. It's right here on my page. Right there. Itmar mace. The last word on the line is mace. Mem tough. Okay, itmar. Anyone know what itmar always does? Itmar, you might notice the word amar inside of it. This is a Aramaic word which introduces a saying of Chazal. It's usually a brisa of some kind. Itmar, it was said. Chazal say. Itmar... Mace, what's a mace?
A dead person.
Corpse.
Corpse, okay.
Dead body. Hamutal bechama. Hamutal, anyone know the word mutal? It's like kind of laying there. It's placed within or placed in. Mutal is placed like natal. Like it's actually related to the word tiltul, right? To take. It is placed. Mutal, it's reflexive or passive or whatever. Mutal bechama. What's chama? In the sun. Chama is a way to say the sun. So the corpse is now, taking a lot of heat, and we want to protect it, right? So that's the implication. That's the underlying purpose or the underlying desire of the Gemara here. So what do you do? Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. What does Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel say? Hovcho mimita limita. Hovcho, we know that word. Flip the body, like v'nahafochu. Flip the body.
Flip, okay.
Mimita.
Are we talking on Shabbos?
We're talking on Shabbos, yeah.
Flip the body from one bed.
From one bed to the other, from one bed to another bed. We're trying to move it out of the sun. Trying to move it out of the sun. Anywhere, in the shade, doesn't matter. We're trying to move it to protect it. Now, what can we already learn from this?
That you're allowed to touch it.
You're, did we touch the body? Did somebody touch the body?
You're flipping it. You're rolling
you're,
it.
Well, you have to flip it. You have to touch it somehow.
Do you?
No.
I suppose you're like lifting up the sheets and rolling them off.
I mean, we're, it's, the dead body is presumably on a bed, and we're bringing a second bed next to that bed, and we are taking the bed and flipping it over to the next bed. So what do we actually learn?
Pick up the bed?
Yeah. Mimita lemita. Hovcho mimita lemita. So what do we learn from that?
You can move it indirectly.
Ah, very good, Sarita. You can move it, but only indirectly. Let me see if I can find a Rashi here. Hold on. There's a previous discussion with similar words. You don't want to get tricked by that one. If you look five lines up in Rashi, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up in Rashi. Hof cho mimita lemita. Rashi says, ad shemagia letzel, until you get to shadow. So until you get to the shade. Now, obviously, it's a very gruesome Gemara, especially for our times. Sorry, it's the computer. Hi, Chaviva. And you have to put your head in, the 4th century or whatever this is referring to, where they didn't have the same level of expertise. They didn't have the same level of apprehension to deal with disgusting things or difficult things. So that's what we're talking about. And they probably also, by the way, didn't have the same level of shelteredness about deceased bodies. Not just because people died earlier, that's definitely true, but also because they didn't have the same kind of containment procedures or refrigeration and things like that. You know, we don't have to get into the gory details, but people were not as averse to taking care of deceased bodies as maybe some people are today. Obviously, some people are very noble in their help with Chevra Kadisha and with Taras and things like that. But back then, it was much more common for people to be exposed to that kind of thing.
This is only when a body is already on a bed.
Presumably died on Shabbos?
Died on Shabbos, found on Shabbos, yeah, something.
Oh, okay. He's found on Shabbos, but he's already on a bed.
But yeah, on the bed. So I'm not sure. We could be sliding the bed underneath him or a sheet, like Adina was saying. I'm sure there's a way to do that, like a mat or some kind. So that's what we've said so far. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says you flip the body from one bed to another. Rav Chanina bar Shalemya Mishmei de Rav. This is ultimately a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Okay, that's very common. Rav and Shmuel always disagree with each other. Rav says, Maniach alav kikar otinok. Put upon the dead body. You wish it was a pillow. Yeah. Kikar. A loaf of bread. A loaf of bread. I believe we had that discussion. Bread or baby? Bread or baby? Now, what in the world is going on here? Anyone? What's going on here? Anyone want to guess?
You said in your...
Once it's on there...
Yeah, what a...
Something you need, and then you...
Right.
You
yeah, did I use it? I said it in a video recently?
You
yeah.
Said that before, like with soldier or something.
Right. Oh, very good. Yeah, you're right. Correct. I did say that. Thank you for listening and for paying attention and for remembering. But Kikar Otinok is basically the catch-all for leniencies. When it comes to muktzah, a muktzah leniency. If you have something which is aser, but you add to it something which is mutter, if you remember our discussions about basas davar, asal davar, and mutter, it's similar to that concept. It's a little different because here is post facto, which you're really never allowed to do. It wasn't already there. So it's different. It's definitely a different situation. But here we are using it as a leniency to allow the movement of the dead body. Right, because obviously we want to take care of the dead body, so we will invoke certain leniencies to allow us to do that, to allow us to achieve that end. So we take a figurative, doesn't necessarily have to be a loaf of bread or an actual baby, I don't think. It has to be something which is mutter, something which you want to have. Now, I think it is up for debate. We're not really going to talk about this right now, but I think it could be up for debate. What is the the utility or the significance of the thing that you use, right? The reason why it uses a piece of bread and a baby is presumably to give over the impression that the thing that you put on there really has to have utility. The child, you obviously, right? Because what we're going to do, we're going to take the body with the bread on it, and we're going to pretend, we're going to imagine that the purpose of moving this dead body is for the bread. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, just like when we talked about Basis Lever Aser, you know, and we talked about putting a challah roll on the candle lighting table, we weren't literally going to use that challah roll, but we could have used that challah roll, and therefore it's useful, and therefore we can move the thing. But here, I don't know literally what we're, you know, what's literal, what's not literal, but... Okay, yeah, potentially, correct. But the point is that we will invoke this leniency of putting something mutar, putting something that you're allowed to move on top of the dead body, which you're not allowed to move, because it's muktzah. You're not going to do anything with the dead body. You can't bury it. You can't use it for anything, obviously. So then, so you put something which you are allowed to move on top of the dead body, and that allows you to move the dead body.
But this is different than something you put before Shabbos.
Right, this is not a bus's question. This is not a bus's question. That's why I said it's a similar concept. It's not the same one. This is really a lenience. You can't use this for other things. You can't say, oh, I wish this computer was off my table. Let me put a piece of bread on it and then move it. No, we're doing this because it's a dead body.
Okay. But other kinds of things might also qualify for this sort of a leniency.
What you mean, what other mutter things?
No, what other situations?
Besides a dead body, I've never... I want to say that the parak of what's the parak about? It's about a fire in the house. I can't remember the phrase of that. It's later on in the Sefer, that's not it. Kol Kalim. Maybe it's in Kol Kalim. Kol Kisvei Kodesh. That's right. Kol Kisvei. In parak Kol Kisvei. Later on in the Masechta, so it talks about a fire in the house and what you're allowed to save from the fire. I believe there's a similar discussion. I'm not sure it's explicit in the Gemara or it's in the Rishonim about a Sefer Torah. If you want to save a Sefer Torah, that discussion is about to come up, by the way. Not a Sefer Torah, but a dead body. So I think there also they might use leniencies. I don't remember a Kikirotinuk leniency. But okay. Actually, Sefer Torah, you don't need that. I think the Gemara, the case there was the opposite. If there's a Sefer Torah which also has something usher in it, are you allowed to move it? I think that was the case there. Anyways, we could look at that a different time. But here, so you have the Kikirotinuk. So says the Gemara, if you go back to this here, Terav Amar Minechal Kikirotinuk Metal Talo. So Hecha Diika Kikirotinuk. What does that mean? Hecha? Maybe hechig means out. In this case, it's hecha is when. It's kind of a tricky Aramaic word because it sounds a lot like other words. But hecha is hecha is when. Di'ika, when there is kikar otinok, when there is bread or baby available. So then, kule alma lo pligi. That's a very important or very often used Gemara term. Kule alma lo pligi. Kule alma. What's kule alma? The whole world. Kol haolam. Kule alma. The entire world lo pligi. Does not disagree.
Why couldn't they say agree?
I don't know. Because sometimes they say kule alma pligi. Sometimes kule alma doesn't really mean people. It means in all situations. In all possible worlds, if you will. Kule alma lo pligi. No one disagrees. No one disagrees. Everyone does not disagree. Everyone agrees. Kuliyama lo pligi deshari. Everyone agrees that that's okay. If you've got bread and you've got a baby, that's obviously better. Put the baby on the body. Put the bread on the body. A lot of bees here. And move it. Okay? Everyone agrees that that's okay. Ki pligi. What's that? Ki pligi. The word ki means? If, when. In this case, it's when. I was expecting someone to say because. But you know better than that. Ki pligi. When do they, pligi, disagree? Lo pligi is agree. right? That's why it's sort of like parallel phrasing. But ki pligi, when do they disagree? Delays lay. Delays lay, comma. When they don't have a baby or bread. Mem samach is the next part of the sentence. Anyone know what mem samach is? Besides those who have Haaretz Kol Gemara? No. Mem samach is mar savar. Mar savar.
Without doubt?
No. Mar is like Mr. Mar is like Mr.
Okay.
One person, savar, holds, right? One person's opinion is tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul, right? One opinion says you can't move it unless you have a baby or bread. That's really the second opinion. It's going out of order. Tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. That indirect movement is considered real movement, yeah. And therefore you are not allowed to move the body in any indirect way. The only time you'd be allowed to move the body is if you had bread or baby. Okay? Umar Savar, and the other opinion, that's the first one. What, Rina? You're just reading. Umar Savar, that's Shmuel's opinion, who says what? You can move it through the bed, from one bed to another. Mar Savar, lo shmei tiltul min hatzad. Lo shmei tiltul. It's not considered tiltul, and that's why Shmuel allows you, as Sarita said before, he allows you to indirectly move the body without touching it from one bed to the other. Flip it from one bed to another. Rashi says, min hatzad, kil achar yad, which is basically saying an abnormal way. That's pretty abnormal, right? I think it also means not just abnormal, but also not directly, right? You're using another another thing to move it as opposed to your hands. Okay, so now we have machlokas. This is the other very important gemara about tiltum and hatzad, shmei tiltul or lav shmei tiltul. But let's keep reading. Says the gemara. So right now we have a machlokas Shmuel and Rav. Shmuel holds according to this lo shmei tiltul. And Rav holds Shmei Tiltul. Anyone know the general rule of Rav and Shmuel? It's a kind of an advanced rule. Whenever we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the rule of thumb, unless it isn't, the rule of thumb is we paskin like Rav b'Isuri and Shmuel b'Mamoni. Rav, we paskin like whatever Rav says when it comes to the issues of forbidden or permissible. And we pass like Shmuel whenever it comes to financial questions. So this is this a financial question or is this a prohibition question? Prohibition. There's no money involved here. So therefore you would expect that we would pass like Rav. And Rav is of the opinion that what? Can you move it from bed to bed or no? Shmuel said you move it from bed to bed. Rav is the one that's quoted as saying, no, you need the baby or the bread. You can't move it without the bed, without the bread. Shmuel says bed. Rav says bread. Okay? So then the Gemara says like this. Lema, what is lema? Let us say, lema, right? You might have noticed the different emas in Gemara. There's tema, there's ema, there's lema. I think that's it. Nema. Nema is similar to lema. Both lema and nema are both saying, like suggesting, shall we say, let us say the following. Tema is usually you say, like it's usually preempted by a v'chi tema, and if you want to say, okay. And then there's ema, which is I say, or I will say. Similar to lema and nema. But okay, here's lema. Lema, let us say, kitanai. Also a very important Gemara word. Kitanai. Anyone know the word kitanai? You might notice a word in there. Tana. What's a tana? A tana is one of the opinions of Chazal, of the Mishnah, or of the a brisa or a tosefta of one kind or another, a medrash, right? A Tana, that's why the Mishnah, it's from the word Mishnah, right? Tana is a Mishnah, right? That a Tana is someone you'll find in a Mishnah, that same level of, you know, rabbinic status. Okay, so Lema Kitanai means, I don't know how I guess maybe Tana'ai means multiple Tanas. Tana'ai means plural Tanas. In just colloquialism, this means it's a machlokas Tana'im. Tana'ai means there's a discussion between two Tanas. So Lema Kitanai, let us propose that this discussion about whether or not Tiltul Min Hatzad Shmei Tiltul is actually a machlokas Tanaim. Rav and Shmuel are not Tanaim. Sometimes Rav is pure to look at Tana, but Rav and Shmuel are not Tanaim. And now we're going to say, let us propose that this machlokas at Rav and Shmuel, who are Amoraim, later rabbis, is actually based on a machlokas Tanaim. Why is it important, by the way? What is the efficacy of bringing those two things together? Why does it matter that we can align Shmuel and Rav with a machlokas Tanaim? Who cares? Why do we care? We're just trying to find cool connections now. What is the benefit of connecting Rav and Shmuel's machlokas to a machlokas Tanaim? Anyone know? This comes back to something, the fundamental purpose of Gemara generally. We've talked about before. That the purpose of Gemara, which was essentially a compilation of the Amoraim after the Tanaim, trying to figure out what did the Tana say. Because generally the rule is the Tanaim were closer to the Masorah, and whatever they say goes. Amoraim, however, can't just make things up. And Amora does not have the power, does not have the shoulders to make their own halacha. What Amoraim do is they give their opinion, but it better be based on Masorah. You better have a tradition of what you're talking about. Otherwise, we can bring this Mishnah or that Braisa. That's basically the entire Gemara. Somebody says something, and then they say, yeah, but what about this Mishnah? So, what do you mean, what about the Mishnah? I could have my own opinion. No, you can't. You can't have your own opinion. The whole purpose of the Amoraim is to try to figure out what is it that the Tanaim said, because they had a greater Masorah. Coming back to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who was himself trying to maintain the Torah Shabbat Peh within a written down book, right? So that's the whole purpose of Gemara, is trying to figure out the Tanaim. So now, when we say Lamech et Tanai, we're not just saying, oh, look, these two things look similar. No. What we're doing is we are justifying the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. If we can't find an opinion in the Tanaim that Rav and Shmuel agree, that Rav and Shmuel can hang their hats on, so then either Rav or Shmuel is going to have a problem, right? Whichever opinion, we can't find the Tana to support it, okay? So when we say Lamech Tanai, we're saying basically, we don't have to figure this one out. Sometimes you have Rav says this, Shmuel says this, and then they go at it. Yeah, how could you say this? How could you say that? If we have two opinions in the Tanaim, it's like, okay, fine. We don't even have to come to a conclusion who's right, who's wrong. Because they have what to hang their hats on. Rav and Shmuel can both be right. We still have to paskin, the Shulchan Aruch still has to tell us what's the halacha. But Rav and Shmuel don't have to go, you know, try to fight each other for it. So that's what we're doing. Lema Kitanai, that's why it's such a fundamental phrase. It is essentially trying to accomplish what every Gemara is trying to accomplish, which is get back to what the Tanaim meant. By the way, the word Tanaim is not to be confused with Tanaim at a wedding. I don't know, maybe you've confused that. Tanaim at a wedding is from the word Hebrew word Tanai, which is on condition, yeah. Right? That we both agree to pay for the wedding, et cetera, et cetera. It's a document that lasts a whole of a half an hour because the wedding's already prepared. We're about to do the wedding. Back way back when, they used to not, you know, do it right away. So the Tanaim were actually important. But this is a different Tanai. This is an Aramaic Tanai, which is a Machlokas Tanai. Okay, so what is this source that we keep talking about, which is a Machlokas, which is a conversation between Tanai? The Gemara in Yoma says, based on a Tosefta, Ein Matzilin Es Hames Mitpnei HaDaleika. What does that mean? Lehadlik, yeah. We do not save a dead body on Shabbos from a fire. From a fire. There's a fire in the house, and we do not save the dead body. Well, why not? So first of all, you have to remember there are a lot of things here. Okay. There are a lot of things, but
in the time of a fire, you wouldn't be doing this back and forth with the baby or a bread or a bed.
Oh, so hold that thought. But you have to remember also, when it comes to mitzvos, what are you allowed to do for the sake of I'm trying to phrase this properly. What are you allowed to violate on Shabbos? A derabanan. Okay. For what purpose are you allowed to violate it? To save a life. Hard to say. Obviously, it's uncomfortable. Nobody wants to have to deal with this. The question is, well, what are the parameters here? And as we'll see, there are some leniencies, but it's not, you know, a carte blanche. As we'll see here, Ein matzilin es hameis mipnei adlika amar of Yehuda ben Lakish. This is Yehuda ben Lakish. I have no idea if he's related to Rav Shlakish or not. Rav Shlakish's name was Rav Shimon ben Lakish. I do not know. I can't imagine there are that many people named Lakish, but I don't know. Maybe there were. So Shemati shematzilin es hameis mipnei adlika. I heard you can save the dead body. So what gives? Which one is it? No or yes? Says the Gemara, Heichi dami. I don't know if I can literally translate that, but what is the case? What's the situation? What is the situation here? Heichi dami. How? Before we had the word Heicha, this gets a little confusing. Heicha means when. Heichi means how. Sorry about that, but yeah. Heichi is how. Heichi dami. How is this the case? E deika kikarotinok. If there is bread or baby, so then my taima the Tanakama. Who's the Tanakama? What does Tanakama mean? Anyone know?
The first Tana.
That's when we have an unattributed opinion. Luckily, it's almost always the first opinion, so we can say Tanakama. Sometimes you find, once in a while, you'll find Tana Basra, the later opinion, or Tana Metzia, the middle opinion. But Tanakama is the most common, by far the most common, probably 95% of the time. But Tanakama Savar, so my Tama Takana, sorry, I didn't ask you what Mem Test meant, but it's my Tama. So my Tama to Tanakama. What is the reason of Tanakama? Which opinion is the Tanakama?
You can't save the dead body?
You cannot save the dead body. So it says, if e de'ika kikarotinok, if there's a piece of bread, a loaf of bread, or a baby, so then why would the Tanakama say you can't save the dead body? Do the baby trick. Do the bread trick.
I wouldn't want to do the baby in the house.
So that's a practical concern. Yeah, there's a practicality part of this for sure. But for the Tanakama to just say, carte blanche, like, no saving dead bodies. Whoa! What if I've got a loaf of bread? I want to save the dead body. And you know, I think also like our minds jump to like the most extreme version of fire, right? So it's like we think that the building's about to blow up or something. Right. It could be that you know a contained fire just started in the kitchen or whatever, and you're in the living room and there's a dead body here. It's not like you know you got to get out right now. Obviously, you're moving, but you're not. Whatever. So what's the reason for the Tanakama? Why would the Tanakama say you can't save a dead body? Why can't we do the baby or bread trick? Thank you for the background music. I feel like I'm speaking on Meaningful Minute now. My town is Tanakama. So then what's the reason for the Tanakama? And e daleka, and if there is no bread or baby, so then my time is Rebbe Ben Lakish. So what's the reason for Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish? Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish says, I heard you could save a dead body. Well, how are you going to do that with no baby or bread? So the real question is, what's the case? What are when we say there's a mace in a delika, there's a dead body in a fire, what's the situation? I need more detail, I need more information. You can't just ask what the halacha is without all the information. So that's why we're trying to figure this out. Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish says no, but why would he say no if there's a loaf of bread next right by you? And the Tanakama says, sorry, Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish says, that was the Tanakama. Why would the Tanakama say no if there's a loaf of bread? And why would Rebbe Yehuda ben Lakish say yes, you could do it if there's no baby or bread? So says the Gemara, Ela lav, is it not? Rather, is it not? It's hard to translate these. Isn't it a case of betiltul min hatzad pligi. Maybe we're talking about a case of moving this dead body in some kind of indirect way. Meaning there's no baby or bread, right? There's no baby or bread to save the question, to justify l'kuli amalo pligi. Everyone agrees if you had a baby or bread, you can move the body. That's not the case here. You don't have any permissible items you could put on this dead body. I don't know how. I don't know. Don't ask me. The question is, well, maybe they're arguing about tiltum and atzad, just stam. Elala v'tiltum and atzad fligi. Demar savar tiltum and atzad shmei tiltul. That the Tanakhama who says, ein matzilin hameis mipnei adzalika, the opinion that says originally that you're not allowed to move the dead body when there's a fire, maybe that's because he holds you can't even move it indirectly. And that's why he says you can't move it. Because savar tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. Because indirect movement is real movement. You can't move mukta. Umar savar. And Rabbi Huda ben Lakish says, lo shmei tiltul. And so let us suggest, lema kitanai. Rav and Shmuel have what to hang their hats on. Rav can hold, no, you can't move the dead body without a bread or baby. That's in line with the opinion of the Tanakhama in this Tosefta, that tiltum and atzad shmei tiltul, that indirect movement is real movement, and therefore you're not allowed to move the dead body. So Rav, now you have your opinion to stand on, and then Shmuel, who holds you can move it from bed to bed, flipping it over, he holds like Rabbi Huda ben Lakish, another Tana who we can rely on to say, look, tiltum and atzad lo shmei tiltul, and you're allowed to move the body. This is the Gemara's proposition, the Gemara's suggestion. Let's say that Rav and Shmuel can just hang their hats on these two opinions, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Not in that order. Not respectively, meaning the Shmuel would be Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, and Rav would be the Tanakhama. Says the Gemara, no go. No dice, sorry. Not going to happen. This is not the same as Rav and Shmuel. Says the Gemara, lo. Comma, lo. De, anyone want to guess? What's the next word? Actually, no, it's not going to work. Lo, de kule alma. De kule alma. The whole world, everyone agrees. What does everyone agree with? Tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. Everyone agrees. Everybody knows. No one disagrees in stating that indirect movement is considered a real movement. You're not allowed to indirectly move mukta on Shabbos. Everyone agrees with that.
Wait a minute. I thought we don't.
Wait a minute. We just saw two Gemaras that told us tiltul min hatzad lav shmei tiltul. Kuf Chav Gimel, Kuf Mem Aleph. We saw it. We've been dealing with that for a month now. Yeah. Now you're going to tell me? Now you're going to tell me? Well, really, this was first, but whatever. Now you're going to tell me that Kuli Alma, Tiltum and Atzav, Shmei Til, everyone knows that. Everyone agrees with that. That's a tough sell. We're going to have to deal with that in a second. But what's the Gemara's explanation here? So now we have to figure out, if everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, everyone agrees that you are not allowed to move a dead body indirectly. So then why is Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish saying, Shamati, I heard that it's okay. Shamati, Shematzilin es hameis min dead. Like, why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish say you're allowed to do it? Tiltu min atzad lav shmei tiltul. And if we're going to say there's no baby or bread around, so why did he say you're allowed to do it? Says the Gemara, behind you, Tamid Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, this is just to finish off the conversation for our sake. Dimitoch she'adam bahul almeso. Dimitoch. Through, from the fact that a person is bahul almeso. What's bahul? All confused or busy with, overwhelmed is probably a good word. Overwhelmed about the deceased. Ilo sharisle, if we don't allow it, you probably have to go to the next page, Adina.
Yeah.
The next page. It's an art scroll next page. Yeah, at the top of the page. Okay. Elo Sharisle. What does that mean, Elo Sharisle?
Allow it.
if we don't permit him to move the dead body, so then, asi lechabuye. What does that mean? Asi lechabuye. What's the word ati? Ati means to come. Asi, he will come lechabuye. What's kiboy? To extinguish. He's going to put out the fire. He's got a dead body in his living room, and there's a fire. Well, I can't move the dead body. So let me trip with some water. Let me, misplace my water bottle over here. You're going to put out the fire because you don't want to, obviously, you don't want to risk the dead body. So what we say instead is, better you should violate muktza for the sake of a dead body, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, better you should violate muktza for the sake of the dead body than to come to violate possibly a biblical prohibition. We're not going to get into that. That's a loaded statement right there, that putting out a fire is a biblical prohibition. We're not talking about that right now. Malchshin is Trichel Gufa, that's a whole question. But the point is, we'd rather you move muktza than to put out the fire. So now, in the end of the day, the Tana Kama holds, you can't move the body. And presumably, he's not worried. The Tana Kama is not worried about you putting out the fire. Maybe you're going to, and that would be wrong too. Tough luck. Tana Kama says, ain't matzilin. You can't save the dead body. It's just a bad situation. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says, I've heard that you can, so that people don't come to put out the fire. So now, by the way, just a little bit of a detour here. What does that mean for Rav and Shmuel? Right, we had just said Rav and Shmuel had this machlokas, tiltum and atash me tiltur or not. When the body is in the sun, so Shmuel said you can move it with the bed to bed. Right? Tiltum and sad lo shme tiltul. He didn't have a problem with that. Rav said you can't do it, only if there's a bread or baby. And then we say, well, what about this machlokas tanai? Maybe they have both legs to stand on. No. Everyone agrees tiltum and sad lo shme tiltul. So wait a second. What about Shmuel? Hey, everyone agrees lo shmei tiltul. What about Shmuel? Seems to agree that yes, lo shmei tiltul. So why are we saying that kuli alma tiltum and atzad shmei tiltul? So Shmuel has no leg to stand on. Presumably, that's what it sounds like. And if you continue in the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yehuda ben Shila, Am Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Kreb Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis. That we actually pass the Kreb Yehuda ben Lakish, that when the dead body is in a fire, you're allowed to move the dead body. We are worried. If you look at Rashi, the first Rashi on the top of the page, Ilo Sharis Leva Chulei, Aval Bemutal Lechama, when the dead body is not in a fire, but is rather in the sun, Lo Shari. The only time we paskin that you're allowed to move a dead body is in the fire, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, or if you have a baby and bread. But if nothing else, you are not, the end of this Gemara means you are not allowed to even indirectly move the dead body. You're not allowed to. This seems to be at odds with all the Gemaras we saw before. Whether it was the radish in the ground, or the fig, or the bread in the ground, those seemed to all conclude that tiltum min atzad lav shmei tiltul. Besides the fact that we've got this glaring contradiction, we also have the problem of why in the world did the Gemara not mention an explicit Mishnah? There was a Mishnah. We started 2 weeks ago with a Mishnah. Right? The whole case of tznon, the radish, was a Mishnah. Bless you. And the Gemara then quoted a brisa. I mean, those were Tanaitic statements. Here we're trying to find something. We're trying to salvage Shmuel's opinion. Shmuel said you can move the dead body from a bed to another bed for the sake of that. We were trying to be lenient for the dead body. And then we bring up a Tosefta that we thought maybe will help him. And then we rejected it. So why didn't we say, before we conclude, Shmuel, don't worry. You have someone to rely on. Who was it? Rav Chananya? Who did we say? On Kuf Chav Gimel? Who was the opinion? That said that you can move it. Hold on. Paga shetamana b'tevin v'chara shetamana b'kecholim. There's a rose been to die that you can't do it. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was the one that said, Loshmi Tiltul, and then we said Rav Nachman changed his mind. Rav Elazar ben Tadai is the one that said, Lashmi Tiltul. So is Rav Elazar ben Tadai. What's Kuf Mem Aleph? Let's see here. I thought it was a Mishnah, no? Where was that? Was that Kuf Mem Aleph? I'm trying to find it. Kuf Mem Aleph. It was a Mishnah, Hakasha Gabe Mita, Loyana Anenu Biyado, Amena Begufo. We said you can move it with your body. Rashi interprets that to mean Tiltul Min Atzad. That's an explicit Mishnah. And we quoted Rav Nachman, Rav Ada Bar Abba, Amri Be Rav Tanina. That was actually from Rav, which also is a question. Rav there seems to say that you're allowed to move it also. And here Rav is saying that you're not allowed to move the dead body. So we've got to figure this out. We're going to start by only reading the question in Tosfos, and then we will, Mirz Hashem, pick up with it next week. If you look at Tosfos, which Tosfos is it? Tekule amo tiltul min atzad shmei tiltul. This is the bottom Tosfos.
Okay.
The very bottom Tosfos.
Oh, they've got big letters.
Yeah, the big letters, yeah. Rule of thumb, if the Gemara is at the bottom of the page, then the Tosfos commentary is also going to be at the bottom of the Tosfos, and it goes in order. So the very last Tosfos, five lines up from the bottom of the page, on Kuf, on Mem, Gimel, Amin, Beis. So you have to go back. The bottom. Yeah. So, Dekuli Amo Tiltul Min Atzad Shmei Tul. Everyone agrees that Tiltul Min Atzad is really Tiltul, and it's Usser. You're not allowed to indirectly move it. Nira Lari. The Ri was one of the grandchildren of Rashi. I don't remember. It might not have been one of the children of Rabbi Meir. Either way. Nira Lari. Dechein halacha. That's the halacha. Why? Mi delo kamar dekuleyama lo shmei tiltul. It never says, everyone agrees, it's not tiltul. Uchagon, and only is it, it's only prohibited in a case, deleka, kikar, or vitinok, when there's no baby or bread. Vien lo elamita achas, and you only have one bed. Vitam, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, mitoch she'adam bahul. The only reason why we'll allow it is because the person is going to come to extinguish it. And the last word on the line, ela mishum dehilchasa deshmei tiltul nakat hachi. But it's only because you only need to come on to that reasoning because you're not allowed to move it indirectly. Says Tosfos, however, Vikasha l'ri, it is difficult. It is a question for the Ri. Dibereish kol hakelim, at the beginning of the parak called kol hakelim. If you see in parentheses there, kuf chav gimel amud aleph, that's our Gemara from last week. Pasik rev nach min krebi alazar ben tadai. The end of that, right, we said Chazar Rav Nachman Mehahi. Rabbi Nachman changed his mind. You remember, we said to Rav Nachman, "Wait a second, do you hold Lo Shmei Tiltul?" Oh, I thought you held Shmei Tiltul. And we said, "No, no, Rav Nachman changed his mind. Really, he holds Lo Shmei Tiltul. You're allowed to indirectly move." And here, the Kasavar Lo Shmei Tiltul, the Od Kasha, and also furthermore, Derav Adarav. There is a question of Rav on Rav. Right, Rav Adarav means. A question, Rav on top of Rav. This Rav here, Tahacha Savar Shmei Tiltul. Here, Rav is the one that said you can only do it if you have bread or baby. And over there, Ubisof Perak Tolin, Kuf Mem Aleph Amaral, another one, that's the one we said before, the radish case. Amri Bey Rav, Tiltul Min Hatzad, Lo Shmei Tiltul. He said over there in Kuf Mem Aleph that it's not Tiltul. And there are other cases in Baba Kama that he brings, in Baba Basra. And then also, he even talks about the case of, if you look at the Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, going on, this is a long Tosfos, it goes on to the next page. So Tosfos also brings up the case of Bussis. If you remember, what was the case of the coins on top of the pillow? Mol Shalgabe Hakar. What was that? Mol Shalgabe Hakar, yeah. Minari, what could you do? Right, we said the coins are on top of the pillow. if you put them there on purpose, so that's busted, so you can't move it. But then the Gemara says, what if you just forgot about it there? So then what do? You shake it off. What? Shake it off? That's tiltum min atzad. Shaking it off is indirectly moving the coins. So then how are you allowed to do that? That seems to also imply tiltum min atzad, lo shmei tiltul. So that's the question cliffhanger we're going to leave it on. That's the Gemara of Meis Lameis. I told you last week that's an important Gemara, as gruesome as it is, and you know, not a good vision or something to imagine, but nonetheless an important Gemara, because this Gemara says explicitly tiltul min atzad shmei tiltul, and nobody disagrees. Kulei alma literally means the whole world says, except for Rav Elazar ben Tadai, and except for Rav Nachman, and except for Rav Adbar Hava, and all the people that we saw, are they not part of the world? Are they from a different world? You know, kulei alma lo pligi. So, how do we understand? What does it mean, tiltum min atzad shmei tiltul? What does it mean, tiltum min atzad lo shmei tiltul? Are there different situations in which one would apply and one wouldn't? Even though it doesn't seem like there's any way to get out of this, Tosos is going to come up with such a fundamental halachic principle, it will define the entire concept of the tiltul min atzad. Mirtz Hashem, next week, we'll get to it.
Before we get any
Yeah, Mirtz Hashem.